Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It is a privilege to be before you again here today. It's been quite a while since the last time I visited with you. I bring you much greetings from Sugar Land, Texas. Many have asked. As you can see, I'm by myself today. Demetra is at home with Michaela. On Thursday, she came down with the flu. And she got the first call that she was sick at school with 103 temperature and headache. So we have to make sure that we take care of her. So Demetra and Michaela are back at home. So we ask that you would continue to keep us in your prayers. We really do appreciate that. And we also thank you for lifting us up in prayer. We weren't able to make the last assignment in January due to a death in the family, and we were able to take care of that as well. So it is great to be before you, to have something to share with the people of God. We, the faithful, called out, chosen ones, have truly been blessed to believe in Jesus Christ and his wonderful and many promises. This morning, as we survey the landscape, we're filled with some anxiety and uncertainty. I would like to remind us and refresh us that Jesus Christ gave his very own life that we may have the right to take part in his promises. So today I'm going to focus my attention on Jesus Christ. I know that the many things that have been happening lately have caused us to wonder, as an excited child, what's going on. We are comforted to know that Jesus Christ, Almighty God, is in control of the situation, and they have everything under control, so we don't have to wonder. We have been told the final outcome, and we're comforted with that. So, Hebrews 1. I want to just take up a few moments. Trying to look at the clock and make sure that I'm within my allotted time. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him, through whom he made the universe." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the founder, the architect, the design of our faith. And he's given us many instructions on how we are to enjoy the journey and the walk with Christ along the way in the land of the living. I want to focus on the kingdom of God. One of my favorite, if not absolute favorite, scripture in all the Bible is what I want to turn you to now. Matthew 6, chapter 33, verse 33. Probably the first verse in the Bible that I ever learned by memory. But as you break into the context and you read this most important scripture, it's coming off the backs of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ in chapter 5 giving us the Beatitudes and instructions for living. And then it seems that verses 25 through 33, he seems to deal with something in particular. So as we look at verse 33, let's read that. It says, "But seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things that will be added unto you? We talked about, just for a brief moment, about the anxiety and uncertainty that we are faced with as human beings as we watch what's going on. But as I look at verse 25, he says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Think about that for a moment. We don't have within our power, and God has given us great power as saints to do many things. But we don't have within our power to add time to our life. So what he's telling us is why we're here. Understand that he's supplied us with our needs to help us to make it through the day-to-day life struggles. And we see things happening, we get excited, we get filled with anticipation, because we know how the end of the story ends. We know that we are going to be in God's coming kingdom, reigning with Christ forever. And so he gives us these comforting words. He says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I think about Solomon for a moment and say, the wisest and probably the wealthiest king in human history. And yet God is telling us he was not even arrayed with how he has taken care of the lilies of the field. The simplicity yet complexity of God and how he is dealing with his creation. And as faithful, called out, chosen ones, we are privileged to have the knowledge to understand that God is bringing us to salvation through Jesus Christ. So he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? That's kind of hard to say in the times that we live now, with unemployment at an exceptionally high rate. I'm not sure that, it's higher than any time in my lifetime. And as I look around the room, I don't know. I don't want anyone to tell their age, but higher than it has been in quite some time. And for many people, I know that God is blessing us, and we take for granted how that he's caring for us. But for many people, there's a lot of uncertainty. How we're going to get their next meal, or when the person is going to get a job so they can support their families. And I look at these countries in Africa, Tunisia and Egypt, and the political unrest around the world, and I'm wondering how these people are going to be comforted. But God has given us his word. And his word is for very moments just like these, so we can look at the scripture and remain calm, especially those who are the saints, who have been called the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are to give hope to the hopeless. So I look at this and I say, what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So when Jesus Christ gets to this verse that has been with me throughout my childhood into the days that I'm living today, it always comes to me in my most time of need. I'm faced with something, adversity, anxiety, And I remember Jesus Christ said, keep the focus. Stay on point. Stay on path on the journey. Because the journey we're taking is leading us to be kings and priests. And so he says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is aware of all our needs and has vowed to provide them to us, to help us maintain until his kingdom comes. Now, let's turn to Psalm 37. Many of you know that this is a familiar psalm, but there are so many words in there that are inspiring and comforting. I would ask that sometime in your prayer time, your study time with God alone, you take the time to look, survey the whole chapter of Psalm 37. I guarantee you, after reading that, you'll be filled with joy, filled with comfort, knowing that God is taking care of our every needs. So I won't go over the whole chapter. I'll just go over a few verses that I would like to bring to your attention. Verse 5 through 7. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Now, as we look at that for a moment and we examine it, we are already committed to the Lord. And when we see things going on, I think we, as faithful, called out, chosen ones, we commit even more. We try a little harder. We pray more. We study more, trying to find and make sure that we're following the very will of God, trying to stay on track, trying to stay focused, trying to finish that journey. He says, trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. Now, righteousness, I'm understanding, is becoming vitally important to the saint. So many things are being counted on about us for our righteousness. And I'll get to that later on in the presentation. But it's so important that we be righteous, and that we keep our garment clean, and that we keep the focus on God and the mission before us. What a privilege it is to be called out of this world, to be taught the things that we've been taught, and to understand what we know and be assured of them, that we remain faithful in this walk. Verse 18, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. The days of the blameless. So God is making note and paying attention for us being righteous. And he tells us that our inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. You see why Jesus Christ was telling us in Matthew, God understands and knows our needs. He's taking care of that. He's asking us to stay focused. Keep our eye on his coming kingdom. Keep our eye on the promised reward of being kings and priests in the world to come. I know many of us sit here with anxious and anticipation, waiting for that moment. Every time I think about it, I get excited. And I try to imagine what it would be like. I know everyone has done that. We have our moment where we think about what will happen or what we'll do when God calls our name and says, come on, enjoy your inheritance. We're thinking about it. And so, verse 23 says, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. And I like to read that in the King James because it sounds so different. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. See, God is taking care of us. As we stumble, he is preserving us. For he has us on a mission and a journey. And he wants us to just remain focused on that promised reward. So, verse 25 and verse 26 have always been comforting to me. To hear these words. To know this. David says, I was young, and now I am old. And I survey the room. I see youth and maturity. And I already talked about unemployment and things being higher than we've ever seen before. Unless someone here is in that age group. And like I said, I won't give away anybody's age. But if you remember, maybe after services, you can tell me just how bad it was and we can have a comparison. But he says, yet I have never seen the righteous. Again, it keeps coming up. The righteous. And I see that there's a focus on not just seeking the kingdom, but seeking to be righteous. He says, I have never seen the righteous forsaking or their children begging bread. Now, most of us have children, or at some point in time we will have children. And I know that we wonder and we worry about them. But we're comforted by these words because we know that if we stay focused and we continue our walk in this righteous way, Jesus Christ has made provisions and promised that he will take care of them. I was old, and now I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Isn't it comforting to know that our children will be blessed if we stay on the righteous path, if we stay focused on the kingdom of God and keep that commitment that we made with God? Verse 28, he says, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. Think about that for a moment. He's promised us protection. So I hope by now, at this point in the message, some of that anxiety and uncertainness is starting to fade away. As we get back on track, as we focus on Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And Jesus Christ wanted us to be busy doing his work. And he does not want us to be taking up time worrying about the little things and the small things that tend to get us bogged down. So he's telling us, I've taken care of all that. Stay on point. Stay focused. Keep the big picture in mind. Verse 29 says, verse 28, they will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. So I talked about how we work a little harder, how we pray a little bit more intensely, and how we study a little bit more, because God is putting his laws in our hearts and our minds. And every time we're faced with uncertainty, adversity, we recall these scriptures. We've all heard them. I'm certain that this is not your first time hearing them, but we think about them when we need Christ the most, when we need his strength the most, when we need his help, when we're having that day, when we're not in the spirit for the moment, but we're in that carnal mind and we are worried, are wondering. And then we recall these scriptures and we're comforted by them because we know them. And so we bring them back to memory so that we can continue to please God. You know, the scripture tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. And so sometimes when our faith is tested, we remember that. Faith. God is with me. He's made provisions. Stay focused on the kingdom and stay focused on being righteous so that we can help those others that are counting on us. Verse 34 says, wait for the Lord and keep his way. How can I say wait for the Lord as we see things happening? But we must wait for the Lord. We can't get excited and think that we're going to speed up time or try to make things go our way. We have to wait on the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in his native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. I think about this and I think about some of the things that we're seeing, and we see some wickedness going on. We don't envy him because we know that that's not going to last. But we're striving for that crown of righteousness that will never fade, that will never go away, and that will last forever. I look forward to that moment. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. So all these scriptures are telling us, when we have those moments of down thinking, of anxiety, trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Draw near to the Lord, for he is our stronghold, and within him lies our future. A future destiny to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. No matter what, God has promised that if we seek him, if we stay focused, pay attention and be working on trying to have the righteousness that God is calling us to have, take refuge in him, he's protecting us. He's taking care of our needs. Sounds pretty simple. Yet, if we stay unfocused, we can do it. And Jesus Christ has paved the way. We can see the importance of being righteousness, of being righteous and having righteousness also in James 5. Another one of my favorite scriptures. When you deal with James chapter 5, you know that James was dealing with a lot of things, but James 5, verse 13 through 16 makes it clear. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Eternal. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, as you look at this last sentence, I often think about that when I'm asked to pray for someone. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And the King James gives it so much more volume to it. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. So why is it important to be righteous? So that God will protect us, so that God will be there for us, so that God will direct us and guide us, but also so that as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world, when people come to us and we pray for them, God answers the prayers of the saints. He answers the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. So righteousness is very important. Very important. We are to overcome our anxiety with the patience of the Lord. I'm troubled a little bit to know that we are under relentless attack from Satan the devil. It seems that every time we overcome one obstacle, he's right there waiting to throw another snare or trap or trial at us again. And so John 10 and 10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so Satan the devil, turn to 1 Peter 5. Verses 6-8 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I watched the animal kingdom trying to get a greater understanding about this lion that the Bible is using metaphorically. And have you seen how a lion stalks its prey? Sometimes, whatever the prey is, whether it's antelope or elephants, whatever it is that it's trying to size up, it waits for the herd or the family or the pack, buffalo, finds some high grass, and begins to stake out his prey. And it may be hours as he's staking out who is weak and vulnerable. And then, when it seems like he's outlasted, he's an inching closer and closer and closer and closer as he's tearing down your faith. And before you know it, he's on the prey. It's the same way that Satan stalks us. He stalks us. He stalks us all. Trying to wait to when we're vulnerable so he can attack us. He tried that with Jesus. He thought he had him at his most vulnerable moment. But Jesus had been fasting, and Jesus had been praying, and Jesus Christ was prepared, and you and I are prepared as well. We're not going to give the devil the opportunity to roar, because the lion roars after he conquers his prey. There's a lot going into that. There's a stalking, waiting patiently, 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 and then the attack. And if we allow him to have a victory, then he roars. But in this case, the saints of God have verse 9. Verse 9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Again, we're all being attacked. We're all being stalked. We're all becoming the prey of Satan. But we resist him every time. We have that within our power. And so we overcome him. And he's not going to roar on us, because we are going to resist him. Chapter 4 of James, verse 7 says, let me turn to James. James 4. James 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves then to God. In our case, in most cases, recommit, resubmit. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, as we saw with Jesus Christ. When the devil saw that he couldn't get that roar, that he couldn't get that victory, he left Jesus alone. And he does us the same way. Come near to God and he will come near to you. chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You also be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. We're comforted with that, because we know that Jesus Christ is returning for you and for me. Brethren, as we focus on Jesus Christ, as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, let us consider how awesome a calling we have. And let us remain faithful until Christ returns. For one final scripture, I want to try to close this out by painting a picture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6 through 10. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of the age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Brethren, the time for us now is to stand firm, is to hold fast, to resist the devil, to stand up for Jesus, and to continue to be faithful, called out, chosen ones who believe in the victory that was won by Jesus Christ. We wait patiently on God, overcoming daily as we press towards the coming kingdom that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has gone to prepare. I can only imagine how such greater reward will be revealed when Jesus Christ shares his inheritance with mankind. For, as I just read, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. May we keep our focus on Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom till thy kingdom come.